الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين.
الله
صلى على محمد وعلى آله. من ذا 8 نوفمبر 1999؟ Last week we finished verse number 25. So we are now on to verse number 26. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَسْتَحْيِي بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَسْتَحْيِي أَنْ يَضْرِبَ مَثَلًا مَا بَعُوضَةً فَمَا فَوْقَهَا فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فَيَعْلَمُونَ أَنَّهُ الْحَقُّ من ربهم وأما الذين كفروا فيقولون ماذا أراد الله بهذا مثلا يضل به كثيرا ويهدي به كثيرا وما يضل به إلا الفاسقين. الله سبحانه وتعالى, there are few aspects or rather pointers in this verse that we must look at. First one is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says He is not ashamed. If that is the correct translation used. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَسْتَحِي. He does not hesitate. يَسْتَحِي is from the word حَيَا, sharaf. Right? So when we say مَنَ الشَّرَفْ نَفِيَهُ, Allah says إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَسْتَحِي. Now, verbs like these that denote some kind of emotion, some kind of feeling. Something like إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ, Allah loves those who are good to us. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَسْتَحْيِي, like in this one. What does it mean? Does Allah have emotions? Does Allah have the same kind of feelings that me and you have? Of being hesitant, of being ashamed, of being reluctant, of being caring and loving? So when does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala use those words? Allah uses these words the way we understand. We understand that every verb, every action, the verb used that has a feeling or emotion attached to it has a consequential action to it. So, if I love somebody, then I would sacrifice, I would care, I would show concern, I would provide the best, right? This is driven by my love. Similarly, if I am reluctant, if I am ashamed, if I am hesitant, that means what I want to do, because I am hesitant about it, I will not do it. So when Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَسْتَحْيِي, He actually means that He does not do it. Because, in other terms, what we would call as hesitant or reluctant or ashamed, the verb used is not to make us feel what He is feeling. There's no feeling attached to what Allah does. It is to make us convinced that the consequence of that feeling is what Allah is doing. So when He says, لَا يَسْتَحْيِي, if we are hesitant and ashamed, we will not do it. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He is not reluctant or hesitant about it. If Allah says He loves somebody, the good doers, or He loves those who are righteous, then by that He literally means that what do people in love do? If I care for my mother or my father or for my children, what would I do? I would provide the best for them. I would want whatever is best for them.
So when we seek the pleasure of Allah, there's no real pleasure there.
Allah, what pleases Allah?
I must, you know. Pleases, but in a sense, yeah.
This is it. You see, what pleases, let's talk about pleasure of Allah. What is with Allah? What is pleasure of Allah? Right? Is it a feeling that Allah would get pleasant, would enjoy, would feel satisfied? Then what is it? Look at the consequence of that feeling. If I am pleased with you, what would I do?
Reward. Bring you close.
I would you know, reward you. Right? I would sort of get close to you, I would sort of, you know, look after you, be protective, and so on, right? So when Allah, it pleases Allah, that means we have chosen the right thing, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is therefore going to give us what a pleased person gives. The feeling itself is not there.
To make us understand the concept.
Exactly. We understand according to our emotion. Again, wrath of Allah, anger, ghadab, ghadab Allah. That doesn't mean if you look at, if you try to, you know, picture the sight, somebody furious. No, nothing to do with Allah. I think Allah cares for what is going in this world. He doesn't. This world is nothing to him. But what happens when you get angry? You would want to cut off. You would want to punish. You would want to seek revenge at times, and so on. So the consequence of that action, just so that we understand, that when Allah gets angry, it is not that He gets angry the way we get angry. It is so that we understand that what would we do when we get angry is what Allah will do. Without any manifestation of anger the way we manifest it, that feeling or caring or emotion, whatever it is. So this is the first point here. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَسْتَحِي, does not mean that Allah is hesitant about something and is not hesitant about other things. No. It only means that when He says He is not hesitant, what would a person not hesitant do? He would blurt it out. He would do whatever he wants to do. He would not hesitate to do it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not hesitate in giving an example. Now, what people object, example of a mosquito, فَمَا فَوْقَهَا, last time I remember when he said فَمَا Gnat, mosquito.
Gnat,
yeah. Gnat, ba'udha is, well, ba'udha is a mosquito. What is a gnat? Gnat, yeah, fly, Jehoche.
Fly, I think.
No, mosquito, Jehoche, Guru.
Mosquito, ba'udha is a mosquito.
It's not a mosquito.
I don't know why they call it a gnat. Probably there is...
In English, it has the connotation of something very small.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you have the same kind of feeling.
The sixth holy Imam, Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, he says this ba'udha, the word ba'udha has been used with a specific meaning, right? He says if you look at an elephant, there are similarities in an elephant and a mosquito. Up to the proboscis. The mosquito is the proboscis and the elephant is a trunk. And more than what the elephant has, the mosquito has wings, right? Yet in that small scale, Allah can produce, in that large scale, an elephant having similarities, right? And that is why Allah used the word ba'udha, so that if you understand the large, a large animal, right, He can create similar organs, similar functions in a very small insect, and more than an elephant has, with two wings. This was the sixth Imam's hadith in Tafsir al-Qumi. فَمَا فَوْقَهَا means anything beyond it, whether it is smaller in size or it's applicable in both, or bigger in size. فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فَيَعْلَمُونَ أَنَّهُ الْحَقٌ مِنْ رَبِّهِ. Those who have brought faith, those who understand, will see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has really revealed the truth through examples, similes. And as we go on today, we'll understand the importance of this particular verse, that how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has conveyed concepts, has conveyed ideologies through examples. And it is these examples that we have to spend time studying deeper to be able to understand what Allah is trying to convey. وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فَيَقُولُونَ مَاذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِهَذَا مَثَلًا يُضِلُّ اللَّهُ بِهِ كَثِيرًا يُضِلُّ بِهِ كَثِيرًا وَيَهْدِي بِهِ كَثِيرًا. So those who have not brought faith will say, what did Allah wish? What did Allah want from these examples? It misguides a lot and it guides a lot. Now, mind you, it's 50-50 now. يُضِلُّ بِهِ كَثِيرًا وَيَهْدِي بِهِ كَثِيرًا. So the verb used for both, the adjective used for both is plenty. It guides many and it leads astray many.
Does kathira refer to people or kathrat of a lot? You said it guides a lot and
it guides a lot of people. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا يُضِلُّ بِهِ إِلَّا فَاسِقِينَ. So those who are misguided by examples are already misguided with their fisq. right? It is not the examples that are misguiding them. They are on the wrong path. They are in the path of fisq. They are fasiq. Fasiq are those who sin openly. Fasiq, the fasaqa is to separate, right? Like if you have dates and you remove the seed from the dates, this is called fasaq, to remove it from its origin, right? Now, fasiq are those who have already deviated away from the right path. Now, these examples are leading astray only those who are already astray. So it's not like it's something that people are on the right path and then it says, here, these examples are misguiding, you know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, only those who are already on the wrong path will find these examples misleading. وَلَا يَضِلُّ بِهِ إِلَّا الْفَاسِقِينَ. So it is not the guided ones who find these examples confusing. It is those who are already misguided, those who are sinners already, who find that these examples are misguiding. But truly so, because if they don't have a foundation, then these examples cannot be actual. You've got to understand, these ideologies, these examples that are used for people who have a foundation. Right? The more you understand the Quran, the more you will find that it is very difficult to pick up a verse from anywhere and then just try and understand what does Allah mean by this. Because there is a foundation that has to be laid, that has to be understood as far as Allah is concerned. How He operates, how His system works, how He established His creation. All that system has to be understood before we can understand things that are of secondary nature. Now, who are these fasiqeen? Who are these misguided people?
الَّذِينَ يَنْقُرُونَ عَهْدَ اللَّهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مِيثَاقِهِ وَيَقْطَعُونَ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ أَنْ يُوصَلْ وَيُفْسِدُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ.
We have finished this whole sentence. Huh?
Now, not before.
After that verse, of course, fasiqeen are those who have yanquruna ahd Allah. How has it been translated in English?
Violate
the covenant. Min ba'di mithaqihi. After this ahd Allah and mithaq. What is this?
It takes it from the Prophet as well, right? Yeah. The Prophet gave
the Prophets had a different covenant, the Imams had a different covenant. Everybody had a covenant. I mean, what is this covenant name? I think most of it is referring to this stage before we were brought to earth, right? Before the physical creation of a human being. And that stage, which is alam-e-zar, the state of atoms, which is contested by many scholars and confirmed by many scholars. In fact, S.V. Rahman Ali has got a very good discussion about it. He names all those scholars who agree to it, and all those scholars who reject the idea.
So are you saying we were alive before we came here?
Yes.
So what happened to the two lives and the two deaths?
That's a difficult
one. No, if we were alive, we were alive.
No, it's a good question. The question is, if you remember two lives and two deaths, right? Do you remember what we discussed last time? Anyway, we looked at Surah Al-Mu'min, verse number 11, if you remember. If you remember Surah Al-Mu'min, verse number 11, right? It says, we gave us life twice and He gave us death twice. That means we got life, then death, then life, then death, and then life and life again. So these are five things. But if you discount the first one, because this is assuming that there is existence of human beings, then there is a death, then there is a life, then there is a death, then there is a life again. So there are two lives and two deaths. And this one, the first one, is assuming now you are alive. Since, this is the argument they are making, since the creation of those atoms, there has been no death. Alam al-arwah, as they call it, or alam al-dar, as they call it, is a state in which everybody up to the time of the Day of Judgment has been already created. Now it is shifted from one stage to another. From death to alam al-dunya, and then death, and then life, and then death, and then life again. So whichever way you look at it, whether it is the physical form or alam al-dar, there is no death in the transfer of that.
Between that to this life.
Okay, you will find many arguments. For example, if there was a covenant, this is the strongest argument to which I haven't found an answer. If there was a covenant, I don't remember. Right? What is the point? To the answer, they say, look, childhood memories, do you remember what you did as a child? Yet, science has admitted that whatever happens on you as a child is going to affect you, going to influence you as an adult. And therefore, whether you remember or not, what happened there is going to have its influences on you in this world. Right? So, remembering or not remembering is immaterial. The whole thing is, in fact, some scholars go to the extent that all this fitrat that we have, the instinct of survival that we have, right? All this fitrat was given to us in that world. In that world, we acquired that instinct for survival, that knowledge, basic necessity, for which we know. When the child comes here, the child knows how to suckle, the child knows when to cry when it wants attention, and so on. Where did the child learn that from? The child learns it from that world. There are arguments, and I suggest you read 7172, the tafsir of the verse 7172 in S.V. Rahmadani. Will give you an insight into the creation of our atom stage, as they call it.
Could you say that as an action, you don't have it or it doesn't do consciously. So can you use that argument for the soul? If we did it consciously, would you remember it? Because since the time we've had a consciousness, we can differentiate between right and wrong. Mm-hmm. If you were mature, mm-hmm. we can remember it. Sure. Seems to go hand in hand. While you're a child, you had no conscience. So you couldn't.
Similarly, from that stage to this stage,
I think it's
possible. Absolutely.
What about
min ba'di mithaq? There's some sort of confirmation by whom it's actually.
Mithaq is like a contract, a conclusion. Contract concluded. Ahd Allah is the contract with the contract. Right? So the covenant is the contract that says قُلُوا لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ تُفْلِحُ فَرْضًا. Mithaq is iqrar, it's a yes. Right? بَعْدَ مِثَاقِ أَحْدَ اللَّهِ بَعْدَ مِثَاقِ. So it's not only the contract was presented, it was presented and just concluded. Then you turned against. That's the meaning, the literal meaning of the verse.
Could it not refer to the contract that we make with Allah now in this world when we do shahada, and then we change our minds? Could it not mean that? You say la ilaha illallah, shahada rasulullah, and then you change your mind.
It could.
And those would be the hypocrites.
Well, you see, this is referring to Fasiqeen are normally believers.
They have accepted God, and then they begin to.
They haven't become kafirs.
They sin openly.
So they are breaking, transgressing, violating laws.
Which they have done shahada for.
It could mean that, yes.
And what's a person who sins not openly? What's this your word?
Muslim.
A Muslim?
Yes. Fasiq is somebody. Fasiq, I remember seeing in Ayatollah Khoi, rahmatullahi alayhi, his book, a description of a Fasiq. You know, it is common knowledge that ghibat of a fasiq is a laugh, right? Yeah. You do know that. Ghibat of a fasiq is allowed. Now, the question was, is ghibat allowed of a fasiq only in the sin in which he does fisq? For example, when it comes to witnessing the moon, the crescent, the new crescent, you say you cannot take the testimony of a fasiq. By a fasiq, you mean somebody who sins openly. And it is common knowledge, somebody who does not have a beard, you don't accept his testimony. Why? Because he has dared to sin openly. Right? Now that is a fasiq. Why? This person is not keeping a beard, he is sinning openly, he cannot hide that sin. Right? Now, the question put to Ayatollah Khomeini was that if a person is fasiq, say in this sin, you can see him only not keeping a beard. Is ghibat allowed only in that particular sin? You may not have seen him and I tell you, oh, he doesn't even keep a beard. Or in any other sins that he may be committing. Interesting question. Ayatollah Khomeini himself says that according to him, his opinion, he says, a fasiq is a fasiq, whether it is one sin or all sin. The ghibat of a fasiq is allowed.
The whole purpose of the ghibat, hopefully, is to embarrass him into becoming a good person. So
not just rumor mongering, a scandal, whole purpose is to spread the truth about him, that he may feel embarrassed about privacy. This is just out of interest, fasiq.
What's the difference between fasiq and fajr?
Fasiq and fajr. Arabic, there is not much difference between fasuq and fajr. It denotes the audacity to sin publicly.
Fajr.
They have the same meaning. Fasq and fujur.
In the tafsir of this ayat, talk about the covenant, it says that there's two covenants, once before you come to this world and once you accept Islam. But it says the one referred to here is the covenant in Ghadir al-Qum when they accepted the Imam Ali and then went back to Islam.
Right, let's go on. هو الذي خلق لكم ما في الأرض جميعا ثم استوى إلى السماء فسواهن سبع سماوات وهو بكل شيء عليم. Again, the word ثم استوى على العرش. Right? Stawa means
Jam
Jam name.
What's
the translation?
Direction.
Umrah Magash over there, right?
Direction.
Atadilu, right?
Direction.
Stawa is straight.
Straight.
Umma Stawa. Right?
Sawasawa.
Umma Stawa ila Sama, Fasawahunna. Now, that means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala laid better.
Stawa ila rash pa chenei. Isn't that establish himself?
We look at the creation. Okay, that is a different study altogether. The creation of arsh, the creation of the sky, the creation of the earth, 6 days and so on. We'll look at that later. Today, we look at verse number 30. وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. Right? Now, before we go on, the next particular story that comes in is divided into three parts. First of all, in the part where Adam is created and the angels are asked to prostrate before him. Second, Iblis standing up and objecting and saying, no, I will not do it. So, the study of Iblis, why he did it, how he did it. And the third is when Adam is sent into heaven and said, فَقُلَ مِنْهُ rather than حَيْفَ. Right? These three different stories, three different parts to this whole story. Now, the first question asked is that did this story took place in form of events as we read the verses of the Holy Quran, that Allah got together all the angels and said, now I am going to create someone and then you prostrate and physically went into sajda and so on. Apparently the verses talk about it as a story, right? But scholars have differed. And many scholars have said that this particular verse, or rather these verses that talk about the creation of Adam and angels and Iblis, that these are not true events. These are in the form of a story to convey certain concepts. Not take place that Allah got together all angels and said, now I am creating Adam, and He created Adam and said, now we go before Him in such that. No. What Ayatollah Qutbatabai especially believes, that the whole story is conveyed in the form of a story, right? But each part of the story has a certain message. And that message is the aim, because Allah uses so many different examples. Right? So He uses different methods of conveying messages. One method is giving examples, one method is direct addressing, this one method is storytelling. This is what happened. And in it we learn what is the relationship between the angels and human beings, the relationship between Iblis and angels, the relationship between Iblis and human beings. Right? In it we are told that you have to be careful of Iblis, because this is how he thinks, this is what he does. And based on that theory, as he goes along describing every event that is described in these verses, Ayatollah Tabatabai looks at it both ways. In any case, you will find that the conclusion is the same. Because even if it was true events that took place, then the lessons and the morals we draw from the events are the same as that we would from the story.
What leads him to think this is not a story?
Good question. What leads him to think that this is not a true story? Right? Now, look at Surah Al-A'raf. Verse number 10. Pay special attention to the address that Allah is addressing us. Right? وَلَقَدْ مَكَّنَّاكُمْ. Right? The address is second person plural. O human beings, وَلَقَدْ مَكَّنَّاكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَجَعَلْنَا لَكُمْ فِيهَا مَعَايِشِ. Agreed? Consistency in address form. قَلِيلًا مَا تَشْكُرُونَ وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَاكُمْ ثُمَّ صَوَّرْنَاكُمْ ثُمَّ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ لَمْ يَكُنْ مِنَ السَّاجِدِينَ. So Allah says, we created you as in plural, we formed you as in plural, all of you, and then we told the angels, perform sajda for Adam. And therefore, is Adam a representative of Adam as a person, or Adam representing mankind? Go further. After it says, قَالَ مَا مَنَعَكَ اللَّهَ تَسْجُدَ إِلَى مَرْتُبْ قَالَ فَعْبِدْ مِنْهَا إِنَّكَ مِنَ الْمُّلِ. Iblis himself, in verse number 16, قَالَ فَبِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي لَقْعُدَنَّ لَهُمْ. He goes into plural sense again. Right? So the whole conversation there is in plural form, except for that bit where sajda comes, because sajda could not have been for everybody. It was for one physical form of a human being that was put in there, right? Now, was it physically put in front of them and said, yeah, prostrate before you? When the rest of the conversation is going on talking about general mankind. So there, Ayatollah Tabatabai says that Adam is used as a symbol of man, not Adam as Hazrat Adam alayhi salam.
It could be that Adam is Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, but that mankind was created and at some point Allah said, now I'm going to put a prophet on the earth. So guys, please.
It could be he was the first man.
Or he was
the first physical man.
No, it may not be that he's the first physical man at all. It could be that Allah put man there a long time before. That's why the angel said, look, we know these guys. They're creating mischief on the earth. When the angel said, no, don't, you know, these guys create mischief on the earth, and you're going to make this guy a thief?
They say that was referring to when the jinn inhabited the earth before.
But they're talking about men.
Right.
last word.
There was an argument used before, because there's nowhere in Quran Makkishi first man. Only that he was the first Khalifa.
And there's no reason why there used to be the first man. There's no relevance in that. The only first was the Nur of Rasulullah, that we said before. After that.
No, we're talking about human now.
Yeah,
or living on earth.
What's the benefit to be the first or not? I can't see the relevance. No, what you're saying is correct. What I'm saying is that why we got hang up that Adam was the first person.
They say that.
Maybe because they're not the rest of us.
Because we watch TV and that's what it says in Sunday school.
No time was there, no prophet. No time, there's no messenger.
That's good.
Let's go. This is a theory. We're here to discuss theories. It's plausible, there's no doubt about it. The theory has capability, it has proof from the Quran that he uses, and he gives evidence from the Quran, and he strongly believes. However, I must tell you at this point that as he moves from one part of the story to the second part of the story, and from the second part of the story to the third part of the story, on the third part of the story he cannot explain it. He cannot use this theory to explain it. And the third part of the story is when Adam was put into Jannah. وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِآدَمَ اسْكُنْ أَنْتَ وَزَوْجُكَ الْجَنَّةَ. Right? Now, there, because not all mankind was in Jannah. Right?
It
was
a real thing.
Huh?
It is a real thing Adam was put in.
Exactly. So, there seems to be an inconsistency with the ayatul of the Bible. It could be well applicable in the first two parts. Where he talk, because he dwells onto the relationship of Iblis and human beings so much, he explains it so thoroughly, how Iblis thinks, what made him do what he did and so on. He explains it so thoroughly that makes you think that for a minute, yes, it may be a story in a form of a story just to convey this concept, right? But when it comes here, that now Adam was put into heaven and then Iblis came there, we cannot say okay, that is a story, because there is that process of Adam being taken out from Jannah and brought down to Akhar. Now why, when, how, all that is discussed will be coming.
Sure.
In any case, Jim.
What is the
Tawbah actually
saying? Because it is saying, okay, so that Adam was, there were many people created, and therefore there were creation there already, and therefore what was the Sajda to? The Sajda was to representative of humankind?
No, yes.
So what is
conclusion? Yes, this is why we have to see what he means by Khalifa, right? And that Sajda, is that a physical form of Sajda? His contention is that angels perform Sajda to every human being who can be labeled as a Khalifa. Now, whether a Khalifa is every human being on this earth or not is something we got to discuss. Let's discuss the whole thing thoroughly, the way he has discussed it. Then we can, in retrospect, discuss these things, whether his theory is plausible, is it applicable in all aspects or not, right?
This theory we're talking about is the theory that this is not a parable, but...
It is a parable, but not a true state of events.
That's what you mean
that's
by theory.
Yes. Okay. Right? Now, first of all, the Arabic words itself, إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the angels. Now, by angels, he does not mean physically all his angels. All he means is that all those who are at the maqam, at the status of angels. Now, this has to be understood, because when we look at Iblis was not an angel. We know that for a fact, right? But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we told angels to prostrate, and Iblis did not, he literally is saying that Iblis was part of angels. Then he says, kana min al-jinn. Right? If the directive was ordered, was directed towards angels only, and he says, Iblis kana min al-jinn, from amongst the jinns, then Iblis would have said, you had not ordered me, you had ordered the angels. The very fact that Allah is not talking to angels as malaika, Allah is talking to all the creation that had reached that status of malaika. And Iblis, that one being only, Iblis had reached that status so high that even the angels thought he was one of them. The angels never suspected that he is not amongst them. Right? Now, inni, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses at places in the Quran inna as in plural form, and in certain places he says inni. Right? Why and when? Is it random or is there a pattern to it? Inni as in singular, inna as in plural. Very good point. Although he clearly said that it cannot be verified. This was by Sayyid Kamal Haidari, not by Ayatollah Khomeini. Sayyid Kamal Haidari says that he has read from many scholars, inna is used when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does something through intermediaries. Because it is his system that he creates the causes, and one cause leads to another, to another, and to another. The final effect, he says, he has given you, but because it is through all these intermediaries, he uses the word inna. And there are things that only he will do without any intermediaries, and there he will use his singular form. Right? So, let's look at examples of inna. Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar. We have given you abundance. This abundance that came to the Holy Prophet came through causes. Right? It was Allah who had given it. But through the intermediary of causes. And therefore Allah says, Inna a'tainaka. Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikr. We have revealed the Quran to you. But this Quran came down from Allah through the intermediary of Jibreel.
Or are bringing dead to life, right? So bringing dead to life,
you will do it through
how?
Intermediary. I've been thinking, to verify it, you've got to list down all the verses that say inna and all the verses that says inni. I'm not sure any research like that has been done in Iran or not. But it is an interesting jih.
Khalik, khalq, Allah has created it. Allah promised, inna khalaknaku.
Through intermediaries, can I?
This is what
it means. Allah, ultimately it is Allah who is doing it. You got to understand the subtle difference. It is Allah who is doing it. Nobody disputes that. Aji, I mean, we are not questioning ki Allah nati keh raha ni, Allah bijani madad keh raha ni, bija partners che. There are no partners to him. It is him and him alone who has created the whole system. But when there is amrullah, فَإِذَا نَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِ, when I blow into him from my soul, right, he goes into singular mode. Right? He says, إِنِّي جَعَيْلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً, I am going to reveal or send a Khalifa on this earth. There is no intermediary there. Adam was created without any intermediaries. Right? And therefore, it's something worth thinking about. That is this the pattern that is there in the Holy Quran?
It should be very difficult. It should be very easy to find inni.
I think so. Kumpi na wanakila inni gala chani?
Inni are very few.
Very few.
Inna and Allah chekwa. Inna gana chani.
Inna ganasha. You see, you have to find out that inna badaima are intermediaries. That is why causes in between the final creation or final effect and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are there. By intermediaries, we do not mean partners or associates. Please, let's get this straight here. Yeah? We only mean the natural causes that Allah has created, which will give us the effect within a system that Allah has created. So ultimately, it is Allah. But is it direct? As in creating Adam, as in when I blow my soul into it, there is no intermediary, right? Or are there intermediaries? If there are intermediaries, Allah uses the word inna. When there are not, he says inni, right? So, inni ja'il. Ja'il is present continuous tense of sending. Inni ja'il fil ardi khalifa, right? A khalifa on earth. Now, I want to constantly use the word khalifa. I'm sure you all understand. We'll define what khalifa is, yeah? Now, in this particular, inni ja'ilun fil ardi khalifa, I am sending on this earth a khalifa. This word, the earth, right? is it referring to sending on this earth, or is it referring to Khalifa on this earth? It's a very important question. Do you understand the difference?
For
the earth.
Is it for the earth, is it on the earth?
No. Is it Khalifa on earth?
No, it's not a good question. Is the Khalifa role, yeah. The Khalifa is confined to the earth only? Or is he saying that no, there is a Khalifa and I'm sending him to earth? Right? Yeah. So, fill up, is it for referring to Ja'al or is it referring to the role of Khalifa, you know, defining the Khalifa is on earth only? So that after earth or above, beyond earth, there is no Khalifa. It's amazing how scholars sit to think and say, what is the evidence to say that Khalifa is permanent, Khalifa is beyond just the earth?
You don't know it well from the grammar and the barakat. And the fact that Al-Ard doesn't mean anything.
Al-Ard is the earth that is referring to this particular planet, that's it. Right?
Is it referring to this planet as well, or is it referring to this universe?
No, it's referring to this planet. We are not talking about any other planets, mind you. We can sit here and talk about Jupiter and Mars, but this particular verse, or this Quran, right, is for us. How it applies to us, Mars or Jupiter, whether there is life or not, there is very little or rather flimsy evidence if there is life, right? And even if there is, I personally would not be bothered. I have my own case to worry about. Do you understand?
No, I don't mean that at all. I mean, is it for us human beings, not just on this one little earth, but wherever we are? For example, we say, samawati wa earth. Samawati doesn't just mean the sky.
No.
It means another level.
It means that elevator status.
And that earth is all that we know.
Earth is something that is low, right? You got to understand what is earth.
The material world.
The material world.
Which is right? Also all
the material
over
world. Which can
space, in our terms, maybe.
It's got what Iblis called thin. What did Iblis call? Khalaqtahu
min
thin. Khalaqtahu min thin wa khalaqtani min nar. Right? You created him from earth, from mud, from clay. Right?
This verse is one very good point against Sunnis because of Abu Mahmoud, the Khalifa.
Oh.
It means if he says, I'm saying the Khalifa, it means what the Sunnis did was democracy, yeah? By doing the Khalifa and appointing one of the Khalifa.
When Sunnatullah,
Allah's
way of doing things, is he appoints it. Yusuf Ali Khalid. Now, what is a Khalifa? First of all, fill out is referring to sending. The Khalifa is more permanent. The Khalifa is that he's sending a Khalifa on this earth. That does not mean that beyond this earth, the role of the Khalifa will no longer be there. No, it will be there. Now, the question here is to understand what is a Khalifa? Or rather, what is the role of a Khalifa? Who is a Khalifa?
A successor,
fine. The successor is for that. Successor means in the absence of somebody.
A representative.
So on.
Okay, who can exercise Allah's authority and will?
Khalifatullah. Representative Allah. And who is that?
A prophet.
A prophet only. So this is referring to prophets only?
Look,
Khalifa is somebody who takes up the post in the absence of the person. So if I send a Khalifa, right? If I have a Khalifa in my absence, be it by death, be it by a journey abroad, right? This person will represent me, correct? That is a Khalifa. Now, represent me as in be able to do what I am doing.
No, to be able to do what I want.
Well, hold on, opposite.
No, to carry out my will, not to carry out my function.
Allah, after all, what they meant.
No, no, we are talking, defining Khalifa. Let's keep Allah in one side. General term Khalifa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted Qadir, then to some extent, Qudrat has to be manifested. If he was Alim, then to some extent, Ilm had to be shown to understand, to appreciate what is his Ilm. If we understand Qudrat in us, and we understand the weaknesses and the limits we have in this Qudrat, then we can comprehend how Qadir Allah is, right? So for every sifat of Allah, there had to be some manifestation on this earth to be able to understand and comprehend Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It comes back to the same thing where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Kalimatullah says, كُنْتُ كَنْزًا مَخْفِيًّا فَأَحْبَبْتُ أَنْ أُعْرَفُ. I was a hidden treasure and I wished to be known. So people would appreciate, his creation would appreciate, and he created a kind of creation that would appreciate, understand him. So that Khalifa, we come to the qualities of a Khalifa as the angels ask the question and all that, to discuss what the angels asked and why did they ask that. But Khalifa primarily is to come here and have limited functions, but operate in a manner that Allah operates. So where there is kindness, there is kindness. Where there is compassion, there is compassion. Where there is mercy, there is mercy. Where there is wrath, there is wrath. Right? But all within certain limits. There is nobody who can be like Allah ever. Right? Now, that limit is also variable. It's called a degree. So you have, from the lowest level on the ground, you have people according to their actions, people according to their closeness and proximity to Allah, rising. And by getting proximity to Allah, being closer is not a geographical thing, a distance to Allah. We said that last time. Okay, how far I am from Allah, how close I am. He is not a point to which we can focus and say, I am far from Him and I am near to Him. No. The closer a person is to Allah, the more he resembles Allah's sifat, qualities. So a person who can say kun fayakun is close to Allah. A person who can say kun fayakun, you know what we mean by kun fayakun? We mean Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, عَبْدِ أَطِعْنِي تَكُنْ مِثْلِي أَقُولُ لِشَيْكُنْ فَيَكُنْ تَقُولُ لِشَيْكُنْ فَيَكُنْ. Obey me, I will make you like me. You will be like me. When I say something be, it becomes. You can tell something be and it will become. Now, that, if that power is in us, and which can be attained, right, by rising closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there, we are closeness to Allah, we are close to Allah, not in distance, but in resembling His attributes. He has the power to do it. Suddenly we find that He has the power to do it. Where did this power come from? From Allah. How did it come? By rising from our low level form of life, getting closer to Allah. Yeah.
It is appointed by Allah, right? Now, Vilayat Faqih, where somebody meant appoints himself as a khalifa, the argument. Isn't there a contradiction here with the Vilayat Faqih code here, or is it just time scale to Adam?
Yes.
Or beyond that?
We are looking at the creation of Adam. We are not even looking at the appointment of prophets. This is not the proof used to appoint prophets. Understand that? Because prophets waste biji ayatuchi, wa arsalna rusul. Right? وَتِلْكَ الرُّسُلُ. Rusul is a messenger. So that this is before He created a human being, Allah says, this human being is going to represent Me, is going to be an embodiment of My power, is going to be manifestation of My attributes. Right? However, is it applicable? And this is a mistake that many scholars have made. You will find many Mufassirin will say that every human being is a Khalifa. Right? I'm sure you've heard that. I have read it myself. That this is referring to the status of insan. That insan is Khalifatullah. أشرف المخلوقات كسو خليفة الله right that he has been blessed by given this post okay you are the representative of Allah I said every human being but that is not true for the Quran itself says that there are human beings أولئك كالأنعام بل هم أضل there are human beings like cattle they are in fact worse than So it is not referring to every human being. What it is that every human being is potentially a khalifa. We have the potential in us to rise from our basic form, to rise closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How we do it, when we do it, is a different thing. But if we choose to do it, if we choose to take that path to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we fit into the category of being a khalifa. Right? Now,
can I come back to your sifat of Allah? You were talking about attributes. For example, is there the attribute, one attribute, kindness, is there such an attribute as cruelty, or is cruelty just simply the absence of kindness? No, people, what I'm saying is, does every human being have only the attributes of Allah, from zero to whatever? Or can there be other attributes which are not from Allah, which are negative?
There are actions. Absence of kindness is good.
Is it the absence of kindness, or is it something else?
Evil is not a creation. Evil is the absence of
goodness.
But, in goodness, in kindness, does not mean that because Allah is kind, we have to be kind at all times. Because for the pleasure of Allah, we have to be cruel. That means we have to withhold the kindness. For the pleasure of Allah, we have to raise our swords and kill. Right? Why do we do that? Is not killing a bad thing?
Well, there must be another attribute, because you're killing for a reason. So there must be another attribute, justice or something else.
That attribute is for him, for Allah subhanahu, for the pleasure of Allah. And that is the key sort of principle. Anything you do has to be for the pleasure of Allah. And if only we can adopt that particular principle, yeah, whatever I think, whatever I say, whatever I do is for the pleasure of Allah, you will find yourself changed. You will not react. You will decide, you will think before you do something, and before anything, you will think about it. And it changes your life. Very small thing when people laugh, or people say this, and people do this, and it don't matter. Because to you, it's another. That is the reason we are studying this, so that we can make a change. Mind you, we are studying this not just that we understand, the Quran, some reason, no. We have to try and apply it in our lives. Otherwise, what's the point of us sitting here every week and learning this? We have to know there is a goal to go higher, to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right?
Gee, my dear, Allah says it, when you appoint a vice or whatever, is it the first one? I mean, this is the thing, is it the first one? Or is it already tabooed before them is going to be a successor?
Ayatollah Tabatabai rejects all those theories that say there were other creation before human beings or jinn or any other creation.
But if you are going to interpret that as a khalifa means a successor, then there will be the word another khalifa.
Khalifa to who?
Remember Hussein, you know, in the internet ages
back?
Hussein.
Hassan.
Hassan Hussein.
I remember you.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Did you look at his theory on creation? You remember?
I think I still have it in fact.
Yeah. He tried to merge evolution and Quran
with creation. No.
He came up with something. He says that everything I say fits into what Quran says. There's nothing contradictory. And there's a hadith as well. What he said was evolution was happening. There was a group of primates. Right, who began to walk on two legs and became more and more sort of intelligent and stuff like that. And then Allah plucked one of them. And only added one ingredient.
His roof, yeah.
Nafs. Nafs, upper roof.
Yes, I'm pure. Okay. And then he said, okay, now, because I have put my roof in him, now you decide that he's worth that. Like the verse follows, right? After that point, says Adam was not qualified for Sajda.
Because
he says that now that I'm blowing my roof.
Qualification of the roof was a qualification of Sajda was not because of verse. Think logically, ruh jamal manati.
But not one blown in by Allah.
A janwar isn't kind or cruel or doesn't know which good and bad.
You see, what makes the human being a subject or rather an object of sajda is وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ اللَّهِ. And we are coming to it. There is ilm hasil kailan, but we'll come to all that. What is the ilm and all that? Yeah?
That was yes.
What are the names and how did he teach it? Let's look at the first things first. When Allah said, Inni ja'ilun fil ardi khalifa, the angel said, قَالُوا أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءَ وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ. The angels said, قَالُوا. There's no word objection, there's no word asked, they just say. Right, you've got to understand, the verb used is say, قَالُوا أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءَ. Right? Are you going to send someone on earth who is going to shed blood and corrupt it, or corrupt the earth and shed blood? وَنَحْنُ نُصَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ قَالَ إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُ. Now, what is happening here? When Allah said, when Allah told the angels, okay, I am going to send a Khalifa, immediately, the angels knew that being that Allah is creating is from earth. And earth itself had its qualities, low qualities. I'm going to saw the basic ones, right? It meant bloodshed, it meant corruption, it meant greediness, it meant whatever the bad things that are in us, in human beings, are all from the clay that we have been created. Whatever the good things that are in us are from the ruh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Are you quoting from
Hasir
Nizam? Okay.
He also said the angels knew it would be a species living on a planet that had finite resources, so there would be competition, struggle, and hence bloodshed. They knew they would live on a planet that had finite resources.
And therefore they would be...
They would live in a society, structured society, so there would be then the struggle, competition, jealousy, and then bloodshed.
You're saying they would. This makes it sound like they already know what these guys are going to do. It's like they've seen it before.
They've not seen it before. The qualities of clay were known to them. Earth to them. Now earth, not as in this planet, earth as in the material natural earth to them, right? To them was something very dirty and ugly. And to be creating a human being or a creation, a species, from this earth meant that it had to have all these ugly qualities in it.
So they're being specific. They talk about bloodshed. You wouldn't talk about bloodshed unless you saw blood, unless you knew what it was.
Bloodshed was the worst form of crime that could be thought of. Right? To them, the worst crime is killing.
Could it not be that they actually had seen human beings on this earth before?
Or seen
the way Abbas was saying, Jim, that the way you were saying that these were human beings before Allah plucked one of them and gave into him his roof. Because when Allah says he created Adam,
it could be the question that Ayatollah Tabatawai puts forward, he puts forward the theories that have come. Tafsir Safi Masha, I wrote this Tafsir Safi because he talks in length about how, you know, the angels and ask and the objection of angels and all that. But Ayatollah Tabatabai poses this question, that what is the evidence we have? You see, when we present a theory that this could be, the angels said this because of this, right? There has to be certain evidence found either in Quran or in a hadith. Again, when you come to a hadith, it has to be in a hadith that are acceptable, right? So, there is a hadith that says that there were human beings before this and that this is just another cycle, or probably the last cycle of Adam and his descendants, yeah? Another hadith says, in fact, Tafsir al-Safi says that there was a species called Nasnas. Mm. You've heard that?
Yeah, like jinn.
Right?
But not quite
jinn. Not quite jinn. And they had corrupted the earth and shed blood. But the very fact, would they also have come here as Khalifa of Allah? Ayatollah Tabatabai's argument is that if Allah had appointed them as Khalifa, then the angels would have known. The angels objected not to the Khalifa, the angels objected to the species being sent. And this species was coming from earth, was being made from earth. And therefore, they said, how could somebody who is made from this dirt get to that state? And we hear, Musabbihu bihamdika. Now, it is important to understand the creation of angels. Angels in Surah, literally after Amma, Surah An-Naba, particularly Surah An-Nazi'at, right? In Surah An-Nazi'at, when Allah talks of the angels, He says, فَمُدَبِّرَاتُ أَمْرَ فَمُدَبِّرَاتُ أَمْرَ. Every amr of Allah, every command of Allah is being executed by angels. It is the angels of Allah. And we find this so many times in Ahadith. When you see the volcano coming out into the earthquake, in Ahadith, there are angels who are doing these actions. Because these are coming from commands from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is the angels who are actually doing the final victory. Yeah? So, فَالْمُدَبِّرَاتُ amra. In another verses, you'll find the angels saying that we have maqamun ma'lum. We have a fixed state. We can't go any higher. We can't go any lower. So they are created in that state. And they will remain in that state. There is no room for going higher or room for going lower.
There's no ambition.
There's no ambition, no money. Jibreel came to a state and said to the Holy Prophet, you can go, I can't go.
The robots.
Like robots. They are mukramun. They are favored creatures of Allah. Ibn Ibrahim. But when it comes to that competition in gaining proximity to Allah, a human being can get higher than an angel. Right? Well, we know this hadith that we have heard so many times, that when Allah created an angel, He created it with aql only, no shahwah. There's no desires, no instincts. And He created animals with instincts, no intellect. Right? It's the human being that has instincts and intellect. If the intellect overpowers instincts, then human being is better than angels, because angels don't have instinct to oppose their intellect. But if they don't, if their instincts overcome their intellect, then they are worse than animals, because the animals only have instincts to follow. They don't have the intellect to dictate otherwise. So that particular is this. Right? So he maintains, I thought about the angels ask this question, of course, it's not objection, because the angels cannot object. They ask Allah, are you creating someone who is going to corrupt this earth and shed blood? Qala inni a'lamu ma la ta'lam. I know what you know. Now, look at it. That the moment Allah says, I am sending a Khalifa, these people say, this Khalifa has the potential to shed blood, has the potential to corrupt the earth. So the Khalifa that is coming to this earth has these abilities in him. The abilities to corrupt this earth if he so wanted, the abilities to shed blood, the ability to nusabbihu lak wa nuqaddis lak, right? Nusabbihu bihamdik wa nuqaddis. Because that is their picture of Khalifa. And all these were inherent abilities in him. Right? By asking this question on both the sides, right? Then so Khalifa is somebody who does not have this and has this. That means the Khalifa that came down to this earth had the inherent abilities, the potential to do all four. Corrupt this earth, shed blood, praise Allah, and sanctify. Right? All these are found in the Khalifa.
So why?
Sir?
Why?
Why did the angels ask the question?
There's
one of the questions that Ayatollah Tabari says that all the more reason to believe that this is not a true turn of events, it is just a story. But in any case, what the angels did was istafhamu. Istafhamu is to seek clarity, clarification. Yeah. Are you sending someone who will shed blood?
Why did they give you an example?
So that they can be killed.
What did they have in mind?
Well, they had no ambition.
They had no ambition. They have no instinct, or rather, no sort of what you call drive to disobey Allah. They can't. They can't. Simply can't.
Or even question His orders.
Or question His orders.
So why would they
this
seek
was,
clarity?
This was not questioning as in wanting to disobey. Right? This was seeking clarification. And that is why Ayatollah Papatabai believes that actually this is all the more reason to believe that this is, as I put forward the theory, Ayatollah Papatabai, the theory that this is just a story so that we understand. Now what we understand is that they outlined the potentials of a Khalifa. That this Khalifa can shed blood, this Khalifa can corrupt the earth, and this Khalifa at the same time can rise beyond that. To praise Allah.
Is this story, if what you say is true, does that also imply possibly that Iblis doesn't really exist?
No.
In the sense like it's just a not an actual individual.
No, Iblis. This story was there to show how Iblis disobeyed Allah. And how, why, what made him do it? And then, of course, when it comes to him asking for time and ability to misguide and all that, Allah gave him why, right? And so on. So, this is just to keep us warned that this is what happened, or this is how Iblis operates, right? He disobeyed the command. It is, now, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Usjudu li Adam, that sijda for Adam, in Ayatollah Tabari's words, it's not a physical prostration in front of Adam. What Allah means is that, look, this human being is going to surpass all of him. Right? And therefore, you have to submit to the powers of this human being. And the angels are actually there to serve mankind. If man wants to get closer to Allah. That sajda is called sajda khudu', khudu' as in submission, as in humility. Right? That these angels are there to help man.
Not in worship.
Not in worship.
Like, interesting was to say that ayat khuda
disagree with it. That's the other thing. That's why it says that hata.
They say that he's going to do this. God doesn't say he won't do this. He just says,
I know what. I know something you don't know.
But he doesn't disagree with
it. He doesn't disagree. He doesn't say, okay, no, you're not right.
Yeah.
You're wrong. No, he doesn't say that.
Yeah.
So that means.
Because they are right. They are right. A very astute sort of judgment by.
Right? Wa'allama Adam.
Is it a true story or not?
Whether it is true or not, I've never told you a true story. Let's picture it in our mind. Right?
Better understood.
Well, that there is a hadith, very isolated incident, important I think that's what the
Bible says.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. According, there is no concrete evidence to show that they have. There is no concrete. My question is, and I don't know how to come to terms with it, I can't explain this. My question is, if we date back Adam, how long can we date back?
You mean that generation by generation, 10,000 years, 20,000 years?
25,000. Yeah. We generous give it 100,000 years, which is very far.
Very far.
Very far.
40,000 at the most.
Huh? 5,000 years ago, Ibrahim, Nabi Ibrahim, right?
7,000, we know the Egyptians were there, Babylonians were there.
However, the question is, if that is the case, 20,000, 25,000 years, right? How do we account for these science discoveries?
One thing about these fossils, which have been proved, they don't, on the cranial size level, they were not thinking beings capable of civilization.
They were like a form of a human being, but not necessarily intellectual beings like us.
Around the size of the cranium shows it's not possible for them to have civilized thought.
Around 40,000 years ago, the last previous batch of Homo Neanderthal, whatever, were being replaced by Homo sapiens, us. So it makes perfect sense. And not just that, when Adam came down, he had two sons, and who did they marry? This theory makes perfect sense.
His theory makes sense.
Thus, Al Husseini was sent by his theory because he said, pick up hole in it if you can.
No, but is he brought evidence for the...
At least because the evidence we have is, number one, the fossil evidence is there. Secondly, there's nothing from Quran, Islamic understanding that we have that disputes it. For a model or a theory, what else do you need? You need to have something and then say to everybody, okay, no...
Right. So, this is it so far. The angels have objected, or rather questioned to clear it. Right. Why are you sending him? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam from clay. God said, now, this is right. Okay. When Allah told the angels, إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ, I know something that you know, right? Then Allah says, وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا ثُمَّ عَرَضَهُمْ عَلَى الْمَلَائِكَةِ فَقَالَ أَنْبِئُونِي بِأَسْمَاءِ هَؤُلَاءِ إِنْ كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. This is the difference. This is the reason why this angels submitted to the fact that yes, we have to perform some recognition. And the reason is, عَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ. That ilm. That now Adam knew something. And don't forget, by simply knowing that he was not stupid, there is a different meaning to ilm. Ilm is not just knowing, it's just that Allah taught Adam and Adam knew the names. Then Allah tells Adam, come and teach them the names. Was Adam not told, Ambi'un? Right? So Adam came forward and narrated the names to the angels. So the angels also knew the names. Was knowing the names simply enough?
The nature.
There was more of that.
When we're talking about names, we're talking about what names?
You will come to that.
Okay, they would have become equal to Adam, right? If they knew and he knew, they would have become equal to Adam.
So knowing was not enough. So Allama is not just teaching as in knowing. That is why Allah uses two different words. When he talks about Adam, he says, Allama Adam al-Asma. But when it comes to angels, he says, Ambi'uhum. Tell them. list it, whatever. Tell them, right? Ambe is to Naba. Naba is the khabar bil. So give them the news, give them the name. And when they hear the names, or they hear whatever they want to hear, they simply know it's coming from Adam, right? But that knowledge itself is not enough. We'll come to that. Let's not jump before we... We're still in the process of ilm. And what is this kind of teaching? This special kind of teaching that is different from what we can comprehend. Adiyami, when we talk of teaching and learning and knowing, we talk of ilm, we simply mean, I know, I teach, you know, you understand, that is ilm. But then, there is a different ilm called ilm ladun. You've heard of ilm ladun. Min ladunna, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when he talks of Sahib Musa. You remember Sahib Musa? The gatekeeper of Fir'aun, right? Sahib Musa was given ilm ladunni. Ilm ladunni is min ladunna ilma, from Allah. And that knowledge that he was given was different. It means not just knowing, but it means understanding. It means being able to practice, right? And it has the deeper meaning of knowledge. We know that knowledge is just the first stage of ma'rifat. When we come to ilm, then we come to yaqeen, ilmul yaqeen, right? All this ilmul yaqeen is actually being able to practice what we know, right? To put into practice. That is ilmul yaqeen. Now, at one go, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could give that kind of knowledge to us. And that was what Adam had. So when Adam just conveyed أَمْبِئَهُمْ بِأَسْمَائِهِمْ, just the first stage of just letting them know what it is about. Right? And the angel said, سُبْحَانَكَ لَا عِلْمَ لَا إِلَّا مَا عَلَمْنَا. We don't know these names. We don't understand this.
Is there a sifats? That's what we all have. Is there a sifats? His names are his sifats.
Now the names will come to that later. Let's understand the process of imparting. Because the names has several different orders. What are the names? Are the names of Allah? Are the names of other things? What do the names mean? Yeah? We're looking at right now the process of conveying, imparting, teaching.
But they came from, they read from the Prophet.
From the Prophet and from the one in Mount Rana.
Right.
In Kuntum Sadiqin came to
you. If you are truthful.
In Kuntum Sadiqin, if you are truthful that this Khalifa is going to shed blood, right? If you are true, not in your claim or objection, if you are true in your thinking, the way you think. You see, the angels were very naive creatures, very naive creatures.
They also thought that this creature was inferior to them, did they not?
They had no idea that any other creature could ever excel them. They could not comprehend. Because they were so close to Allah, everything was being done direct to them. They were praising Allah. They knew that this is how Allah should be worshipped, and they were the ones doing it. Now enter a new scenario. Now things are going to change. They are just going to be intermediaries for a creature who is superior to the creature. And that they could not comprehend. So Allah in Kuntum Sadiqin, there is no da'wah. Like Allah says about Fa'atum Surah Al-Mithlihi, Wada'u Shuraka'akum in Kuntum Sadiqin, right? That is it. That is claim. Right? Here there is no claim. Here it is an understanding. Where they have a different kind of understanding of themselves, their status, and the creation that Allah is just about to create. So Allah says, look, my criterion is this knowledge that this being has. If you are true in your understanding, then tell me this. And they admitted, لَا عِلْمَ لَنَا إِلَّا مَا عَلَمْتَنَا. We have no knowledge except that which you give us.
Their claim was that they hinted that Adam may not be suitable for Khalifa.
They,
if you are true, then you do what he can do. Then
absolutely.
That is their claim. That Adam may not.
Their claim is in their understanding. Okay, Adam will not be able to do justice to worshipping Allah the way they can do it.
So if you are truthful, then you do what he can do.
Right? However, next week we'll study the Asma with special emphasis on the prefix that is used. ثُمَّ عَرَضَهُمْ عَلَى الْمَلَائِكَةِ. Asma itself is one word in plural form, which would mean ثُمَّ عَرَضَهَا عَلَى الْمَلَائِكَةِ. By saying عَرَضَهُمْ عَلَى الْمَلَائِكَةِ فَأَنْبِئُونِي بِأَسْمَاءِ هَؤُلَاءِ. هَؤُلَاءِ means animate beings, beings that have life. These names. Right? So, ثُمَّ عَرَضَهُمْ عَلَى الْمَلَائِكَةِ فَقَالَ أَنْبِئُونِي بِأَسْمَاءِ هَؤُلَاءِ. Right? So it is not like just theory names. There is life to know names. Mullah Fayz Kashani, Mr. Basir al-Safi, I think he started it, and then I thought about why he developed it. He says in one paragraph only, he says like names refer to something, that something could also be called names. Simple. Right? If you talk of names, these names are words used to convey a concept, a being, a person, not right?
An attribute.
Sorry?
An attribute.
An attribute. Whatever it is. But it can also mean that this thing is a name. So, Abbas is him and he is Abbas. So, you call him a name or you call him a name. You understand what it is? What it is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called certain people with life. He taught them to Adam. And when he gave them to Adam, he explained to Adam exactly what they are capable of. What they were, what they represented. Then brought them forward to the angels. But here, tell me about these if you know. These were beings with life. By this very words that Allah has used, ثُمَّ عَرَضَهُمْ قَالَ أَنْبِئُونِي بِأَسْمَاءِ هَؤُلَاءِ. هَؤُلَاءِ is not used for names. Names is an inanimate adjective. So it had to have life. And what is it? What? Give me one possible explanation. Think about it.
Huh?
The
light.
The light. The light of the Holy Prophet in his position. There was nothing else. With life and present. But what Adam was told was the full attributes and the powers that were there in his. When these lights were put forward to the angel and said, ah, tell us, do you know what these are? Do you know who these are? So this was a display of the potential of a human being. And this was the Khalifa that Allah was talking about. Right? The full attributes, when Adam alayhi salam recited, what Adam recited were the attributes taught to him by Allah of all these powerful people who are in the form of light.
Look, when Allah would have given the same to the angels, they would have done the same.
No.
Yeah, but the thing is, even when they knew the names, Allah kamiju kai samjhiya, and Adam badai samjhiya.
They didn't understand
it.
They didn't understand.
They didn't understand.
What
you say, if Allah would have given them, they would be the same. It is not true.
No, we know what it means. We know we could have known.
Allah would have taught him, taught them, they would have been. Is that what you're saying? The way he taught Adam, if they had, if Allah had taught them, the angels, they would have understood the creation of light of the Holy Prophet. Is that what you're saying?
Whatever Allah would have done.
The angels do not have the ability to get beyond the stage.
Who restricts them?
Allah has created them.
Takes on the restriction.
Takes on the restriction. A human being has the ability to.
He would have
In a sense, Allah created history.
He would have created
history. History was created by him.
History?
History, what was going to happen in the future.
Huh? So Allah created. History is but relative to time. The whole time is His creation. Allah set forth the system. So this is how it is going to take place. Aapke duniya ko idea, a ek noor Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is enough for me to create the world. This is my khalifa.
If we take the hadith kisa as authentic, and we do take it as authentic, so ema ek verse na thi ke main duniya ne bad aasman aur
zameen,
I have not created except for these five people, everything else is an extension of my creation for these five.
Ema dekhna de hadith kisa ma che, which is the authentic bit of hadith kisa, baki no hadith kisa je chhel part che, that is the disputed part. Baki
the main bit where
says Jibreel came and says ma khalaq sama mabniya wala ardam madhiya wala illa li ajlikum wa mahabbatikum, right? Now that is an authentic bit. It is created by Allah for this
people. Are we talking about the fight? I mean, you're telling me that Imam Zainul Abidin, for example, is not included amongst this
norm? It's an extension. Um Fatimatu wa abuha wa ba'luha wa banuha.
So we're not just talking about five.
No.
I can
even say it. So there are two interesting things that I would really like to add. So Sunni tafsir. Obviously, they're not going along with the Panjatan idea. They would be nice to know, okay, Allah kana main tafsir, how do they explain Ha'ula, for example?
That's people.
No.
It's interesting. I'll find out. I think I read somewhere.
Maybe you should check it. I would imagine that. I mean, we've gone into only one verse for about half an hour. But the layman has to take a message from this as well. I mean, we have looked at very much in depth. And what is the basic message that a Muslim takes from this verse?
The basic. Let's summarize it in layman terms.
Yeah.
Right. To summarize it in layman terms, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created a human being with a certain goal. That goal, aim, is for the human being to gain proximity and become a khalifa. How can he become a khalifa? Is by tasbih and taqdis for Allah, and by not corrupting the earth and not shedding blood, right? And that Allah has empowered the human being to be better than Malaika, and has given Malaika, asked the Malaika to submit to him. These are the basic teachings that come out from the story. After we have dealt with, because this is a study of the Quran here, we want to study more, right? Next time, inshallah, we'll discuss Asma, and I'll bring in the Sunni tafsir. What do they say, the Sunni, when it says Hum and Ha'ula?
Yes,
that's from Kabir Shia Fakhr bin Razi, isn't it?
No.
Tabari.
Tabari.
Very confusing.
You know, there was a very interesting point about this. You know, you go ahead.
Stop.
It doesn't matter. But I'm not sure there was a talk on the net about religious pluralism. Jagat Gunabal. And, you know, several scholars are promoting religious pluralism and all that. But somebody said very interesting, the first person to suggest religious pluralism was Iblis. And our okay. Iblis, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the proposal character, I will worship you the way no created being can worship you. As long as one is in the nakal. I will worship you the way no created being can. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the difference is you are suggesting to me your religion. I have already suggested my will. Don't suggest what you want, do what I want. The pluralism also, we are saying to God, you know, we want to do it this way. Well, Allah says, why? I have already told you my way. I'm not open to suggestions. You know, yes. So the first one to suggest the pluralism was Iblis. Okay, do your religion this way and I will be your best Christian.
Why was he not punished?
Oh, yes. I just also, don't jump before you learn your punishment. Wassalamu alaikum.